turned into a triple X monster from a fairy tale movie. He don't know me very well, do he? King Ghidra crush on the scene's teacher. They need to pay him better, she had nothing on the reefer.
This is the KRUI News at 5, brought to you in part by the Daily Iowan. This is KRUI, Iowa City.
Happy Tuesday, Iowa City. Thanks for tuning in to KRUI 89.7. You're listening to Polytech Tuesday with Ariana Cronus.
And Asa Crow.
I hope you all had a wonderful spring break and aren't too upset to be back to work. It's currently about 39 degrees, though it feels more like 30 and very overcast. We're experiencing what my phone calls wintry precipitation, so good luck with that. Hopefully the weather will break soon.
That makes something horrible and depressing sound adorable.
I know, right?
And here's our featured guest, Greg Johnson from the Language Media Center, the UI Capture. Which do you identify with?
So I am a tech support person, kind of based out of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, but my home office is the Language Media Center, which is in Phillips Hall. And a lot of the tech people on campus, we'll reach out to ITS or to other departments and looking for ways that we can help. So one of the things I volunteered for essentially was to help with the UI Capture, the lecture capture software. Some people know it as Panopto. And it's been an interesting experience to get to know instructors, professors, in other departments on campus.
Yeah. Okay, so I suppose you know Virginia Drake from the ITS help desk?
Yeah, right,
oh, Virginia. Oh, awesome. She's we just hero. Had her in a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So do you offer them support sometimes?
Well, that's what happens is, even for myself, anyone who needs tech support on campus, and this probably applies to other college campuses as well. If you can route those questions through the central help desk, it's really handy because, somebody may be on vacation or out sick or whatever, and you're always
speaking about sick, I forgot to ask, are you feeling any better?
A little bit. You might hear this is a sinus version of Greg Johnson, kind of nasal. I had this cold. I'm getting over it,
Voice that. Altered for your protection as we continue to talk in detail about your career.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because traditionally what these services have been for, these lecture capture services, is where a student maybe wasn't able to make it to a lecture and they can go back and listen to the presentation and they can see the PowerPoint slides, right?
Yeah, I know my cousin, Rose, she's finishing up with med school right now and she started her family at the same time and I know UI Capture was just incredible for her to be able to keep having the lectures available and take care of kids and do 50,000 things at once.
We forget not everybody's, living in a dorm or an apartment on campus or downtown. There are people that are driving into Iowa City because of the draw of the University of Iowa. People will come here from an hour or more. They'll drive to campus. And if there's inclement weather or they just, they're under the weather, whatever it might be, it helps to catch all the material that's getting presented. And certainly, midterms, finals, and along the way, you want to be brushing up on material that's being presented in class. So being able to go back, you don't have to bring in your own, audio recorder. You can just rely on those lecture captures. So that's handy.
That is. So is that available for all lectures, or do you have to specifically request this service?
Yeah, students who, there's an organization or an entity on campus that Student Disability Services, where if there are students who feel they really need some additional assistance in getting the material absorbed, they can make special requests and those accommodations will be met. But even beyond that, just, any student who would like to have lectures recorded, they can go to their instructor and ask for that, normally it's in the larger lecture halls. So, where you have a lecture hall of 200, 300 students, but it can be done in a, small classroom that just needs, the lecture halls, of course, they have a microphone and they have kind of the technology needed to record the lecture. Classrooms don't always have a microphone there or a podium or whatever. So the instructor may need to get like a webcam or get some assistance getting that set up. But what's kind of cool right now is that instructors are doing what's called flipping the class. And what that means is instead of going to class and then sitting and watching somebody at a podium, which, like, you could have done that just watching a video on YouTube or whatever. What's happening is instructors are creating their presentations and really kind of, I met with one professor recently who's using Camtasia. He's like doing a full professional studio production of his lectures in his office. And he has like these nice microphones that you have, you know, he has like a really nice audio system and he's incorporating video and images and handwritten notes and all this really dense information that would be really kind of hard to present in that sort of polished way in a classroom setting. He's putting that all together and then providing it online. So the students can go and you're not like racing madly to try to take notes. You know, you're listening to this presentation through, say, UI Capture in this case, and you can press pause, you can rewind, you know, it's like the TiVo of higher education, you know? And then you come to class and instead of just sitting and listening, well, now you can have a discussion about what everybody's seen or listened to outside of class. So it like totally turns the whole environment around and now it's more interesting. You're more engaged with other students in the class. It's really neat.
So it's not just like, why am I even here? Why don't I just watch some Khan Academy videos? It's more personalized.
Yeah. And I think people these days, just because of the pace of life and, you know, how technology's influenced our life, you know, with Twitter and things like that, you know, it's not that we have trouble focusing on anything, but it's just that life is busy. So sitting somebody down in a lecture hall for an hour and a half, like you're going to get fidgety. You're going to have trouble focusing just because that's like a lot of kind of one thing over a long period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of sensory overload almost.
Yeah, or sensory boredom. You know, like
exactly yeah. The opposite.
Yeah, like
to the same end.
Driving down the road and it's like those little lines on the road just keep going by and
highway hypnosis.
You know, highway hypnosis. It's like classroom hypnosis. You know, if it's like this lecture that's going on. Well, anyway, so yeah, now like you know you can really dive into that lecture and push pause, run to the restroom, you know, get together with some friends, and then keep listening to it later. So it's more easily digested, I think, that way.
Oh yeah, so we had Clusterflunk on as our last guest, and I'm just imagining someone posting an entire lecture on Clusterflunk and how great that would be. So where do we go for the recordings of these lectures? Do individual professors put them up on Icon? Or?
Well, you know, some institutions have become well known for the fact that they're putting up videos and even course material. Like you can take classes from Stanford, not officially, but like, you know, you can get the materials and listen to the lectures for free. Not all instructors.
I have a theoretical degree from Stanford.
Yeah, there you go. So, but I think there's still some hesitancy on the part of some professors and instructors where they don't want their labor, you know, putting a syllabus and course material together in a PowerPoint presentation, they don't want to just give that to the world as open source right now. So, you know, some of these lectures are not available publicly. You'd have to be a student to be able to gain access to it. Others are open. And if, you know, they're different, what are called servers on campus. So you'd have to go to the right server, but you could, you know, go to that server and then see what's available public domain there. And so there would be a few courses that you could sort of sit in on virtually.
Oh, cool. So does that go for online classes as well? Do you have any involvement with, or does the university offer online classes?
Yeah, so there is, you know, continuing ed is a department on campus. And they provide distance education and online courses, essentially, where you would be wherever you are and remotely participate in the course using something similar to Skype or, you know, Adobe Connect. And in fact, I was helping this semester with a course that's being taught by three different institutions that have all come together to create one course. So the students Ooh. Span across three different universities. And they're all sharing the same lectures and able to interact. So that's kind of a cool thing. But those types of things become possible when we move into the more online technologies.
That is incredible collaboration. Mm-hmm. So for recording lectures, is it true that they offer streaming and, like you mentioned with Skype, streaming possibilities and you can go find where your professor has posted?
Yeah, there's a capability with this UI Capture technology where you know, when you push the record button, it's actually an option where you can say, I want to stream this out live. So it's recording it, but it's also making it available live. So to anyone who has that link, they can, in real time, you know, watch and listen.
Oh, that's so cool. So you could either be just listening in from afar or waiting till it's over and pausing and rewinding, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's so many different options for everyone.
And all the other content we interact with, you know, if you think about it, whether it's newspapers or magazines or whatever that gets pushed into our notebook computers and smartphones, we have that ability to save and go back and rewind and look at it again and share it. And, you know, we expect information to have those characteristics. And so that's, I think, an intention of moving toward that with higher ed content, to just say, hey, let's make this like other content that people are used to, and they can download it and play it to their heart's content, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like the move from like Greek amphitheaters and live theater to Saturday morning TV shows. And
yeah, right.
Movies, except with lectures in college.
Uh-huh.
Definitely 2015.
Yes.
The future is now. So I know UI capture isn't the only thing you do for the university, right?
Right.
All types of, like you mentioned with the newspapers, there's all types of other media you're involved with, like websites and photography.
Yeah, true? So, you know, everybody has their niche and interest, and there are quite a few photographers on campus. Interestingly, there's a University of Iowa Photography Club, and you can find that on Facebook, that has over 500 members, which I was kind of surprised, like photography club with 500 plus members. And there's also an Iowa City Photographers Guild. I'm part of that group as well. But so, yeah, I enjoy taking photos of, you know, campus. Usually it's architecture I'm interested in.
Ooh,
and,
yeah,
you know, we've got some really interesting buildings currently and more on the way as the university keeps expanding, you know, and modernizing. But some of the pictures I've used have been, or some of the pictures I've taken have been reused by the university, you know, which is kind of cool. What the university does is they'll get onto Pinterest or Instagram and they'll find pictures and then they'll give you credit. You know, they'll say like, here's a picture Greg took, and then they'll put that on a university feed somewhere. So it's kind of neat.
Imagining some academic scouring through Pinterest all day is making me smile.
Yeah, yeah.
So can people directly request you to take pictures or request stock images of university stuff, or do they have to go out and find it?
That's being developed. You know, there's this idea right now in that people are working toward having a centralized repository of stock photos that different departments could use, or a professor could use, or maybe a student could use, because, you know, sometimes seasonal changes, you know, maybe it's not the greatest weather to go out and take pictures or whatever, and you want some picture that shows Iowa in the summertime. So
yeah, like if I was deciding what university to go to and I looked at a picture of the university right now with the gray clouds and the freezing drizzle, it would be off my list.
Yeah.
So I can see why that would make sense.
Yeah. And so, and I'm like I say, nestled in the Language Media Center, which for me has an added value, I guess, or interest of, rather than just supporting computers and technology, I'm sort of a media specialist as well. So helping with video, helping with, as you said, websites. I find myself helping graduate student organizations with their websites, and I enjoy that.
Cool. So could any student group ask you for help with websites, or is that just limited to graduate students?
You know, I tend to, my attitude is that I'm really working for, largely in my mind, I'm working for the undergrads who come here. You know, they come here with a lot of hopes and dreams, and they invest a lot of time and money and energy. And so my focus is, how can I serve them best? You know, I can't always be there myself, you know, providing the support, but I try to get people directed to the support they need. And yeah, occasionally I will help undergrads, particularly with, there's some really innovative projects that students are being assigned now, and they'll come into the Language Media Center for help with these, where instructors might want them to create a video, a skit, or, you know, some video from around Iowa City, and they need help with editing that and producing it and getting it uploaded. So I'll help students with that. But in general, I try to get people directed to, you know, who in their department is the best resource for them. And often I'll send people to the help desk as well. I sometimes, you know, I'm in meetings or I'm busy, so I can't really replace the help desk in that regard.
Yeah, but, you're just one person with like 4,000 freshmen alone.
Yeah,
and then all the other.
Yeah, but you know, students. The other thing is, I mean, the resources on campus, it's pretty amazing. I think incoming freshmen and just maybe people who've been here for a year or two don't realize. An example would be lynda.com. Well, we have lynda.uiowa.edu is this online training resource where you can learn photography, you can learn, you know, music mixing, how to produce music. Ooh. You can learn, you know, computer programming, like thousands of courses through this lynda.com. And it would otherwise, like if you had to pay for these kinds of online courses, they can be pretty pricey, you know? So that's a service that's available to all students. So when a student comes to me and says, hey, can you teach me how to do video editing? I say, hey, I'd, you know, be happy to help, but there's this online course you might want to check out. And usually they'll want to do that on their own, you know, at their own pace, you know?
That is so cool. I knew Lynda offered some really useful software tutorials and things, but I didn't realize it went that far with courses and mixing music.
Yeah, yeah. I liked their page on Facebook, so now I'm getting like all their ads for the different things they offer. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And even like time management and, you know, different things.
I need all of this. So. I'm going to like revert my sitting around scrolling through Facebook time to scrolling through Lynda time. Yeah. And speaking of really cool things, we're going to take a quick break right here for just one more track off of Thousand Thursday and the weather, which is also a cool 36 degrees Fahrenheit out there with the chance of precipitation lowered to 58%. So it might be drizzling where you are. It might not. We'll just see. And I'm going to spin right now for you, if you care to listen, Jace the Mind Sculptor by Mishna. We're back, and I was just finding out that Greg mixes music himself.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a hobby.
Yeah, I started out when I was a teenager, I would get multiple tape decks, you know, just regular tape decks, and then I would record a track, and then I would play it back on one tape deck, and then record with that track live to another tape deck. So it was like my own homemade multi-track recorder. But of course, every time you mix that, you know, you get more static from the previous tape. But anyway, that was like my own home-built multi-track recording studio. But then, you know, over the years, I've gotten into the software and such that's available, excuse me, on computers. And I really like GarageBand.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My high school had that on all the computers for us to use for free.
Yeah. Well, it's nice, like with iPad or iPhone, if you use GarageBand, you get the touch interface of the screen, right? So you can use some of the stringed instruments in a really unique way. And I had recorded some tracks and I put them up on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation and stuff like that. And I started getting some messages from people that, because I post them on Facebook also, and people would say, oh, what kind of guitar were you playing there? And, you know, what microphones were you using? Like all these technical questions about my studio, my recording studio. And so I was like, well, my recording studio fits in my shirt pocket. It's on my iPhone. You know, but it's like that realistic sounding, you know, that the guitar samples they have in there and everything else are really pretty authentic. So you can make some neat sounds. And I was kind of surprised the first time I got an email from Reverb Nation saying, oh, you have a royalty check. And I'm like, whoa, like a real musician, you know, it's like 50 cents or something. But, you know, it's like, yeah, you upload whatever you're creating to the cloud and then you can get paid some royalties for people listening to it.
That is so cool. I know I have a friend who's into art and she is working on her first video game right now and using Adventure Maker or something. And it's really just for fun. She's like a fan of Markiplier, and she just hopes he'll see it one day. But the point of this story is, when she got her first royalty notification for the 2 cents she made from all the views on that video game, she was so excited.
Yeah.
Like, just the idea that we don't only we don't only consume so many new types of media, we can produce a lot of it ourselves.
Yeah.
And like there are like tangible signs that people are listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's the network of technology is so incredible.
Yeah, and that you could be like you could be your own producer and your own agent and your own everything, you know, just creating and putting it out there. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, your studio right there that you've brought into the studio with us.
Yeah.
So, and you can offer all types of students and faculty and staff help for that.
Related
to the...
And like I say, you know, when people go to the help desk, that's in the UCC building. I know there's still some people that don't know where that is, but...
Me!
It's called the Old Capitol Mall or the University Capitol Center.
Okay.
But, and there's actually a lot of neat, you know, resources available there. There's the IT Connection, which is like a computer store, essentially, that's part of the university bookstore.
They're certified for Apple...
Yeah,
too,
and
right?
Also, Tim Barker there is a certified Apple repair person. So it used to be you'd have to, take computers out to some store somewhere to get them repaired. And now if you're a member of the university in some form, you can take them into that tech connection in the UCC building on the first floor, kind of in the middle. And you can get your Apple equipment repaired, which is very cool. And then on the second floor at the south end, is where the help desk is, and it's pretty amazing. Like they can answer just about any question and even help students with their laptop computers and stuff like that. So,
and I know we all need that even when it's not midterms week anymore. Everyone is always panicked. There's always someone spilling Dr. Pepper on their laptop.
Yeah.
We need all the IT guys we can get.
And there's more viruses now and malware and even like these scams where it'll pop up and say, you know, contact us now. We're authorized Microsoft repair people. Your computer's infected. Give us a call at this number. You know, this type of thing. And people are getting sucked into that, too.
It's like a horror movie. Don't go through the door.
Yeah. Don't go through the door. So, but yeah.
So I suppose since it's so easy to, like, make your own video game or music, it would be maybe easier to make your own malware too if you're a terrible person.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, so people with a lot of time on their hands apparently, and you know, rather than leaving home and throwing rocks at windows or spray painting, it's like, oh, let's just disrupt people's lives and make people generally miserable from our, you know, couch is what people are doing now. So it's pretty bad, you know. I think people don't realize when they get into that stuff, they might think of it as just kind of tinkering and hacking and stuff like that, but I help people both on campus and obviously, like, you know, after hours and weekends, I'm helping friends and family and folks that it's like there's a lot of suffering out there. You know, people literally like in stress that it's affecting their health. They're losing money. They're losing time. And they're having to pay for their computer to get cleaned up. Or there's in some cases, it's like so time consuming to clean up an old computer. You might as well buy a new one. And like, you know, the hacker, whoever that is that creates that malware, they don't gain anything from that. All they're doing is like creating unpleasantness. So that's really too bad. But because of that, you know, there's a rise in need for technical support and technical training, you know, to get people aware of what to look out for, you know, to look out for these phishing emails, to look out for fake pop-up messages that say your computer's infected. It's happening even on Macs now because, you know, you go to a website and the website might have a pop-up message, and it's like irregardless of what platform you're on, you know?
Yeah, because the story used to always be, oh, Macs are impervious to viruses, but...
Yeah. Yeah, they're Mac owners who are getting these phone calls from people saying, yeah, I'm an authorized, you know, repair person. Let me just log into your computer.
Oh, no.
And yeah, you know, it's just like never ending, so...
Well, speaking of repair people... we have some helpful people known as underwriters who I'm going to play a spot from right now. So you can thank them for helping KRUI be on the air this long.
Underwriting support for KRUI is provided in part by the Engler Theater, a community arts center and performance space that highlights the talents of local performers, artists, ensembles, and hosts regional, national, and international touring performances. Engler is located at 221 East Washington Street in Iowa City. For more information, dial 319-668-253 or go to www.engler.org.
All right. So back to us.
Yeah.
And the live studio interview with Greg Johnson from the Language Media Center. Mm-hmm. you know, before we wrap this up, I'm a silly freshman who does not know where the Language Media Center is. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. you know, there are a lot of ITCs on campus where you see mm-hmm. computers, be it the library or wherever. And so in Phillips Hall, which is at the kind of northeast corner of Iowa and Clinton. It's a tall building there. It's the old business building. In Phillips Hall on the first floor, room 120, is the Language Media Center. So we have a lot of, in addition to having an ITC, we have a lot of technology related specifically to language learning, including, you know, sign language, which is not something you're going to necessarily, you know, pick up a book and learn. There are videos that people need to check out, and because of the copyright nature of those, they have to be available in a lab environment where you can, you know, you can't just upload them to YouTube, you know. And because students are watching these videos for class credit, you have to keep track of who's watched their videos and stuff. But anyway, so that's where the Language Media Center is in Phillips Hall, first floor. And we have a great ITC there that's, you know, staffed as well. So if people are on a computer, have a question, they can ask one of the staff people there for help.
That's really cool. So I've read that the library over there has a like 7,000 different titles or available pieces of media in their collection. And I suppose that includes the sign language videos. And
right. So because when learning language, you know, we're also, as a language learner myself, I know it's a process of not just learning vocabulary, but learning a culture. And to absorb all that, you, other than traveling to a country and experiencing that immersion experience, that if you're watching a video, you can pick up on little cues and little environmental and context things that are really helpful in learning a language. So it does make it a little more unique than other subjects that somebody might be learning that are kind of textbook-based. It's a little more media-centric in that regard.
That really makes sense. So if you maybe don't have the means for a semester abroad or something, you might be able to get some supplemental immersion into a culture from the media center.
Yeah, and in the hallways, you'll see a lot of posters and flyers and information about whatever language you might be interested in. And pretty much, you know, all the languages have really active conversation groups. So you can get yourself in a setting where you're just hearing that language, you know, and interacting in that language. And that's a good experience. That's like a little microcosm, a mini immersion experience, you know, once or twice a week.
That sounds worth checking out. I know I'm taking a conversational Chinese class right now, and that would really help.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Because if you're only meeting once or twice a week and you only have six people who are not native speakers, that you might need a little extra immersion.
Yeah, for sure.
But so for a class that small with just six people, could you do a lecture on demand if someone were to ask?
Yeah, I suppose. And, you know, particularly with some of what are, you know, lesser taught but very, you know, what are called critical languages, it's common to have, you know, universities partner up with another university so they can have maybe a course on demand, and more than just that group of six students could participate in that.
That totally makes sense. Like the group you were talking about of the several universities making their own online classes together.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think we're coming close to the top of the hour again, so I often like to ask guests if they have any final advice for students in general on campus, or even faculty.
Would say, you know, for students here at Iowa, there are so many great resources and opportunities out there that may not present themselves right away. And that, you know, if you wait until you're in crisis mode and you need something, that's okay. But really, if it's really worth it to take some time to explore what's available either through the websites, just to take some time and explore like the ITS website for technology resources on campus. And just to become familiar with what's out there and what courses are out there as far as, you know, electives and things. Because when I was an undergrad, I took a course from a department that's no longer around. It was called Literature, Science, and the Arts. And we had it was about 12 students in a small classroom with three professors, you know. And as freshmen and sophomores sitting in a room with three professors, we thought that was pretty cool, you know. So yeah. I wouldn't have found out about that except that I kind of searched around and asked people and said, you know, what are some cool things I should be doing here while I'm here for the next 4 years or so, you know. But I'd encourage people to do that.
And that might just be looking at the posters in Phillips Hall and seeing what's available there.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
this was just lovely meeting the man in charge of the person always videotaping my general chemistry class. Yeah. I assume that's what they're
doing. Do you have general chemistry?
So, I do.
Yeah, that's so I'm just in charge of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. So there will be other people like myself then who've taken responsibility over other colleges like engineering or continuing ed. And
okay. So
yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about how that would be a separate college, though I'm definitely a liberal arts and sciences student.
Yeah.
But they have analogous people that we might hear from on this very show one day.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for coming on and being a great guest. That was Gregory Johnson, and I am your host, Asa Crow. Co-host Ariana Cronis has left the building, and now I will too. Until next week.